So you're reading a book or watching a TV show that you really like. And each chapter is better than the last. Each episode keeps getting better. You're getting close to the end, anticipating how it's all going to work out. And you finally get to the end, and it's disappointing. It didn't end how you thought it would or should. What in the world? That's how it ends? What a terrible story. As human creatures, we are drawn to stories. We love stories. We love telling stories, and we love receiving stories. Stories come at us via all sorts of mediums. Books, articles, movies, shows, video games, songs, history, conversations. All of these entail elements of story. We can hardly have a conversation with one another without invoking stories. We love stories. Whether they're truth or fiction or a combination of the two, we are drawn to stories. God has created us to be storied creatures. God has wired our hearts and minds, our thoughts and feelings, and even our bodies to interact with God's creation through stories. Theologian James K.A. Smith states that the way to the heart is through the body, and the way to the body is through story. In fact, this is how worship works. The practices that we habituate in worship, the liturgies, the singing, confession, and absolution, the creeds, prayer, etc., all of these are practices that are inculcating a story. The story. The story of God redeeming his creation and making a people for himself to live in that redeemed creation. In worship, we're living out the Christian story. Or perhaps said a better way, in worship, we're living out the story that God has brought us into. As John says in Revelation 21, verse 27, we are written in the Lamb's book of life. As the baptized, God has woven our stories into his story. God has made our stories, our lives, a part of his story of salvation. And as God's people, we are participating in God's story with every action, word, and breath. God has made us for his story. And not only has God made us for stories, and specifically for his epic story of salvation, God comes to us through stories. Now, true stories, to be sure, but stories nonetheless. He comes to us through his word, through the scriptures. And the Bible is made up of hundreds of little stories, but they all make up one grand narrative. The narrative of God working to redeem his creation by creating for himself a special people, the people of Israel, and then sending his son to be Israel's Messiah in order to redeem Israel and the whole world. The Bible is one epic narrative. It's the unified story of God's work from creation to new creation. And as Christians, the story of the Bible has become our story. As the baptized, we've been grafted into the true Israel. The story of Israel is now our story. We are now a part of God's redemption narrative. And so God comes to his people via his grand narrative found in his word. However, throughout the Bible, we see God coming to his people in smaller stories. Throughout the Old Testament, God's constantly telling the Israelites, I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When God makes these statements, he's invoking dozens of stories from Israel's history. God's reminding the Israelites of the stories where he's made specific covenants or promises to their ancestors, reminding them that he's been faithful time and time again. He's reminding them of the many stories where God provided for his people, such as bringing them up out of slavery, or giving them the promised land, or delivering them from their enemies. God repeatedly spoke to his people through story. And consider Jesus in the New Testament. One of his preferred teaching methods was through parables or stories. Jesus utilized stories to teach theological truths concerning God, himself, his kingdom here on earth and life for his followers. Additionally, it's not an accident that Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the incarnate story of God. God quite literally comes to us through words, through stories, through the one who is the Word made flesh. And consider also the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. The Spirit does his justifying and sanctifying work in us through stories. When we were baptized, the Spirit united us to the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. When we receive communion, we first hear of Jesus, the story of Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, in the words of institution. And when we receive the body and blood of Christ, the Spirit is once again uniting us to the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's also through the hearing of God's word, through the hearing of God's story, that the Spirit works faith in us. Through the preaching of God's story, God's people hear his word of law and gospel. And through this word, the Spirit convicts us of sin, moves us to repentance, works the forgiveness of sins, and leads us in lives of godly living. Indeed, God has made his human creatures to be storied creatures, and he humbles himself by coming to us in and through stories. So God speaks to us through stories, and he's made our stories a part of his story. Yet, it's no secret that the chapters of our lives are often less than joyous. Our lives are full of tragic, disappointing, and sad chapters. Sometimes it seems our stories get worse and never get any better. Now, this isn't to say that we don't have good and enjoyable chapters in our lives. Even in this fallen world, God blesses us with plenty of good chapters. For example, I finally finished my master's degree and graduated on Friday, and so thank you for all your prayers and support. This is a good conclusion to one chapter in my life. But there are plenty of chapters in my life, in my story, that are sad, disappointing, or have panned out very differently than I had hoped. For one, my hair is thinning out at an alarming rate. But at a much more serious note, I've lived alone a lot longer than I thought I would. Ministry, in many respects, has been incredibly challenging. Meaningful friendships have faded. Situations in my immediate and extended family have been heartbreaking. I think all of you can relate in some way. In a fallen world, our lives have plenty of sad and debilitating chapters. Even as Christians, our stories are often tragic. Lord, have mercy upon us. But Christ continues to be with us even in the difficult chapters. For one, we know how the story is going to end. We know where Christ is leading us. But more on that in a bit. In the present, however, we have God's promises to be present with us. God remained with his Old Testament people through all their tragic stories. Jesus promised his disciples to always remain with them. And Christ has sent the Holy Spirit to be with his church, to be with us until he returns. We also have God's promise in Romans 8:28 that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God is actively redeeming our stories, even the sad and challenging chapters of our lives. God has made this promise, and he's faithful to his promises. As we live out the chapters of our lives, it can be easy to convince ourselves that whatever we're currently going through, good, bad, or otherwise, is our story, or is the story. This prognosis is my story. This failed relationship is my story. Losing my job is my story. This hardship or habitual sin or cause or achievement or whatever is my story, is the story. But as Pastor Troy said last week, whatever it is, it's not your story. It's a part of your story for sure, but it's not your whole story. It's not the whole story because your life is now caught up in the story of Jesus. You are written in the Lamb's book of life. Every part of your story is caught up in Jesus' story. Jesus' story is one of the cross, to be sure, but it's also the story of resurrection. As Jesus proclaimed to his disciples in our gospel reading, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Christ has already overcome the sad and challenging chapters in our lives. And this reality of Christ overcoming the world and of God redeeming the sad chapters of our lives is beautifully illustrated by J.R.R. Tolkien in his book, The Silmarillion. In the creation story of his fantasy world, Middle Earth, the God character, Eru, is singing creation into being. It's a beautiful melody. But the Satan character, Morgoth, seeks to disrupt Eru's music and adds his own discordant notes to the song, causing disruption and disharmony. Eru, however, does not remove Morgoth's disharmonious notes. Instead, he creates a third line of music, creating chords that bring all the notes, even Morgoth's, into beautiful harmony. That which Morgoth intended to be chaotic, destructive, and evil is redeemed and reversed. It's turned into a beautiful, harmonious song. And this story illustrates the beauty of God's redeeming work in this world. Christ is redeeming all the junk in the lives of God's people. And Jesus himself lived this out. For the evil of Good Friday was reversed. It was redeemed by the resurrection of Easter and is now our salvation. The shame of Jesus' crucifixion is now his glory. The nail marks in his body, as painful and dehumanizing as they were on Good Friday, are now the marks of Jesus' glory. The ugly nail marks have been transformed into a beautiful redemption story. And as it was for Christ, so shall it be for his church. This is what John sees in his vision in Revelation 21. For here John is seeing a vision of the church's future. He's seeing a vision of the church triumphant. John is seeing the people of God as they will be in the new creation. And John captures our imagination by describing the church with vivid imagery as a perfect city. The new Jerusalem, with a high wall and 12 gates and 12 foundation stones. The city is beautifully adorned with precious stones and metals. In this future vision of the church, the people of God will also, they won't need a temple, for God will physically dwell with his people in the new creation. The church is also portrayed as Christ's beautiful bride. This future beauty of the church, this future presence of God with his church, is where Christ is leading his church. This is where God is directing his story for his people. As Christians, then, we know how it's going to end. We certainly don't know or understand all the details, but we do know the basics. We know that Christ is going to return. We know that he's going to raise all believers to new resurrected life. We know that Christ is going to restore this fallen creation, ridding it of all sin, sickness, and death. We know that Christ is going to usher us into the new creation for joyful, resurrected life with him. And we know that one day we will finally get to see the church as Christ sees her, as his beautiful bride. We know and trust this. We know this is where the story is going because God has written us in the Lamb's book of life. We know how the story is going to end. For unlike the end of a book or a movie that we found utterly disappointing, or unlike the sad ending to many of the chapters in our lives, this end will only be joyful. And truth be told, this end isn't really the end at all. It's actually when the story really gets going. C.S. Lewis beautifully illustrates this story's simultaneous ending and beginning in the last paragraph of his Chronicles of Narnia series. For at this point in the series, the end of the world, the end of Narnia has come. And all those who are faithful to Aslan, the Christ character, have entered Aslan's country, the new creation. And Lewis says this: "For us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." People of God, take heart. You are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your story belongs to Christ. Remember where Christ is leading your story and trust Him as He leads you today. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.